Well, hello there, and welcome back to another episode of The Special Ed Strategist, where we dive deep into the world of special education, providing insights, strategies, and expert advice to support students with unique learning needs. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and I am thrilled that you are joining us today. Our topic is truly foundational to the success of every student with an individualized education program or an IEP. So we're talking about areas of needs, the foundation of IEP goals. We're going to explore the key elements of the comprehensive assessment to help identify where those goals will be coming from, setting meaningful baseline, crafting specific and measurable goals, and the importance of clear reporting. Stick around because I will share some invaluable tips on meeting SMART IEP goals you won't want to miss. But before we dive in, a friendly reminder for you to hit that like button, follow us for more valuable content, and don't forget to share this podcast with another who might find it helpful. I'd be truly grateful. Your support helps me reach more families, educators, and advocates, creating a stronger community for everyone involved in special education. And for those of you that are looking for additional support in bridging learning gaps and accessing special education services, check out Learning Essentials. We're committed to empowering families and educators with resources and strategies to navigate the complexities of special education. Visit our website at learningessentialsedu.com for a wealth of information. Now let's get to it. The power of a SMART goal. First, let's talk about the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, before we get into really the power of a meaningful goal. For additional insight on SMART goals, check out episode 201. So let's talk about that acronym. Specificity matters. So instead of a broad goal like improve social skills, specific objectives such as initiate and maintain a conversation with a peer for at least 5 minutes during recess is going to ensure a clear understanding of our desirable outcome. We also want to make sure that we have measurable milestones. So for writing a goal, set measurable milestones like write a coherent paragraph with proper grammar and punctuation within 2 weeks. Breaking down goals into measurable steps allows for continuous monitoring and adjustment, right? So if we're waiting to the end of the 9 weeks to monitor if a student had achieved or is making progress on something, we may have lost some opportunities to restructure our teaching and learning and support for that student so that they have a better outcome. Thinking about achievability counts. So when addressing that behavioral issue, such as an achievable goal, like reducing instances of off-task behaviors from 5 times per class to 2 times per class within a month, realistic goals promote a sense of accomplishment and motivation for everybody involved, for the student, for the parent, for the educators. They can see that we are really supporting a student. We can bear witness to the success that is happening. So it is critical that we take that time and development of our IEP goals to ensure that we are setting a student up for success. I want you to also tailor the goals to the student's unique needs. So for example, improving executive function skills by creating and following a daily schedule, customizing those goals to ensure they are meaningful and directly address the student's challenges. We also need to make sure that our goals are time-bound. So a clear time frame, such as increasing a math problem-solving accuracy from 60% to 80% within the next grading period. So time-bound objectives provide a sense of urgency and they help in tracking progress over specific periods. So to embark on this IEP goal setting journey effectively, I want us to begin with a comprehensive assessment that's tailored to address the unique needs of each student. So for example, when a student is struggling with reading comprehension, I would like to see the assessment of reading skills and related factors such as decoding, fluency, and vocabulary. So this holistic approach ensures that thorough understanding of a student's challenges and strengths. We even do this at Learning Essentials. When we have a family come to us, we start with an intake, and that intake really dives deeper into these layers or factors that could be related to a reading deficit or a written expression deficit or study skills. So really making sure that we're breaking down all of the elements that are related to this impact so that we understand how the student's learning and we understand how to then support that student. We want to also, when we're talking about goals, incorporate various quantitative measures into the baseline of each goal. So when establishing a goal for math proficiency, utilize that pre-assessment scores, class test results, standardized test data to create a well-rounded baseline, because it's hard to know how far you've gone if we don't know where we started. This approach provides a comprehensive snapshot of a student's current ability, and then we're able to, as educators, set realistic and achievable goal for that student. So crafting goals with precision to facilitate meaningful progress instead of vague goals such as improve reading skills, right? And you also want to think about this as an IEP and as goals, it's going to carry with that student. So if I created a goal and then another teacher, whether it's in my class building or in another building, picks up this IEP, we want to ensure that in that IEP, whoever is reading it truly understands where a student started and where they're headed and how we know how they got there. Meaning, how do we know that their progress was achieved? Right? So if we say improve reading skills, specific objectives like increase reading fluency by 20 words per minute within 6 weeks, this level of specificity allows for target interventions and clear progress monitoring, which then fosters a sense of achievement for the educator and the student, the family. If you think about like for behavioral goals, such as reducing disruptive behaviors, utilize quantitative data by tracking the frequency and duration of a specific behavior. So establish a goal to decrease instances of outbursts by a specific percentage over a semester. You want to allow for a quantifiable measure of success and provide valuable insight into the effectiveness of intervention. So ensuring that somebody is tracking and monitoring so that we know what we're doing. Is it working? Is it not? Do we need to adjust? We want to report goal outcomes with clarity. So instead of using vague language like making progress, which we see all the time as a IEP coach, as somebody that has read many, many IEPs over 20 some years, making progress is common to see. However, it really does not tell us how they're making progress. Is it a lot of progress, a little progress? So explicitly stating whether the student met or did not meet the goal, how are they moving towards that goal? So this transparency provides a straightforward understanding of the student's achievements, fostering effective communication among educators, parents, and specialists. So we also, as educators and specialists, want to regularly collect data and say it's on reading fluency to ensure ongoing progress tracking. Parents, you can also collect data as well on how they're doing on their homework, how they're doing on their work at home, so that you come to the table with your information and your data and you're empowered as well. So consistency provides a reliable snapshot of that student's journey, allowing informed decision making. Always, professionals, we know this, involve parents sharing behavioral tracking sheets and seeking their observations so that we can really bridge this homeschool collaboration effort to enhance the accuracy of data collection. It provides a more comprehensive understanding of the student's skills across different settings. So you can also explore educational apps that track students' performance in real time. That can kind of make it a little bit easier for you if you're busy as a professional trying to keep track of the data for the students that are on your caseload. Providing instant data for analysis and intervention adjustments, integrating technology into data collection, really enhances the efficiency and that accuracy. Really important, I think I always mention something about communication, but establish that regular communication between teachers, parents, and other specialists. Oftentimes, if our students in the school are receiving support from specialists like OT, occupational therapist, physical therapist, speech language, even guidance, some of those folks aren't in a school building every day as a consistent educator would be. So it's really important that we have a way to communicate with that individual that's providing related services for our student so that we can see how they are growing, especially if they're not in the school building and somebody that you could touch point with on a regular basis. You're really creating that feedback loop that allows for that timely adjustments to interventions based on real-time insights, again, promoting that collaborative and responsive approach to supporting students. So to sum this all up, the art of crafting and achieving IEP goals is a dynamic process. It requires some precision, adaptability, and of course, collaboration. So as educators, parents, and specialists, join forces so that we can truly unlock that potential of every student and ensuring a fulfilling and impactful educational journey. It does take a little bit of time, right? Because we're doing a deeper dive of our assessments. We're being thoughtful of gaps and gains. We're looking at present level. We're analyzing parent input to really ensure that we are highlighting the support and goals that a student needs. If a student needs a laundry list of goals, I always encourage families and professionals to take a look and prioritize what we're working on. Because oftentimes, if we have a lot of goals, we're going to start muddying the water and we're really then become overwhelmed. So prioritize what we want our student to work on. And as they gain skills, then add a new skill in to build upon. So before we wrap up, a special shout out to our sponsor, Learning Essentials. If you're seeking additional support in bridging learning gaps and accessing special education services, visit learningessentialsedu.com. Our commitment to empowering families and educators aligns perfectly with the mission here at the Special Ed Strategist podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Special Ed Strategist. If you found this information helpful, don't forget to hit that like button. Give us a follow and a share this podcast with your community. And your support also helps me reach more educators, parents, and advocates, making a positive impact on the lives of students. Until next time, bye for now.